Thank you for calling Carol's Jewelers. Please note we record calls for quality and...
Thank you for calling Carol's Jewelers. We appreciate your time and have made it easy to reach one of our certified gemologists as quickly as possible. You have the option of holding.
Hi, this is Erica. How may I help you?
Erica, Bob from RDI. How are you?
I'm doing well. Hold on one second. Let me get John.
Thank you.
Thank you for calling Carol's Jewelers. We appreciate your time and have made it easy to reach one of our certified gemologists as quickly as possible. You have the option of holding, or if you'd like someone to call you back when they are available, press 1 now. We look forward to serving you shortly.
Hello, and welcome to Carol's, the gem on Las Olas, home to over 20,000 breathtaking products. Nestled among the natural diamonds, gemstones, and pearls, you'll find lab-grown diamonds and a multitude of stylish modern pieces. Prepare to fall in love at carolsjewelers.com. We won't be much longer. Have you visited us online at carolsjewelers.com yet? There, you can explore our newest creations. Get inspired by the latest.
Hello, it's John. How can I help?
John, Bob from RDI.
Bob, what's going on? Has Canada put their fires out yet? They're still being knuckleheads.
Fucking guys, and they're fanning it over this way, too.
Shit.
I got my telescope out, and I could see the little fuckers fanning towards the U.S. God damn it. I threw them a finger, but I don't know if they were looking. Oh, well. We'll see. See if that Canadian smoke slows down now.
Well, did you see the a little meme going around? They put a big AC filter up on the northern border between Canada and America. huge AC filter, you know. Like,
that's funny.
You know, a mile high and, you know, 300 miles long. You don't see how long it is, but you see what it is. It's just funny.
Yeah. That is funny. That is funny. Either that or I should do another meme with a bunch of fans blowing from the U.S. to back towards Canada.
Well, I was listening to the radio this morning. They were talking about how Robert Kennedy's diet and what he eats.
Yeah.
When he travels, he like takes coolers of sauerkraut, I guess. Maybe that's part of his menu.
Sauerkraut? Oh, my God.
And Ruby was making fun of him. He's like, I'm not going to travel with sauerkraut. I like Hot Pockets. Or Pop-Tarts.
That's like the gassiest shit you can eat.
Well, I'm sure because he eats a lot of healthy food. I'm sure he's pretty, he probably gives you a warning, a heads up.
That's loaded with, stuff that they tell you to eat that's good to keep in your digestive system?
Fiber? No, not fiber.
No. Something, there's some other, I don't know if it's like life form type stuff that's present in that. You know what the one thing about sauerkraut, if you ever cook sauerkraut, the flies are around constantly. They're right by your windows. If you have window screens down and stuff like that, that is something that attracts flies like crazy. So I can't even imagine eating sauerkraut all the time. Anyway, what's new, anything?
I went and saw the soccer game last night with my son down in Miami, and saw Messi play for a little bit at the
second
half. So it was a fun game. We lost, but it was fun. We took so there's a train called the Tri-Run. It goes from West Palm Beach to Miami, and there's a station right by our house, relatively close. And we just took it down there and back, and it was only $10 round trip per ticket, so it was great. No, it was $5 round trip. It was $10 for both of us.
Wow.
So it was very inexpensive. But we had to wait till the end, till everybody got on the train to leave, so we got a little delayed leaving, but it was all right.
I got
this one time this morning. He was good to get waking up this morning. He wasn't too pissy, so.
I think that, you know, where the – in if you go to where the Patriots play, you can go from Boston to that facility in Foxborough by train. It takes you right to the state place, which cuts down a ton on traffic. The Bills just built this brand new, beautiful, state-of-the-art stadium here, and I wish to hell they would have put a train line in that people from Rochester, Syracuse, everybody could just get on that train at the downtown station and take it right to the stadium, you know, and it would cut down traffic so much. They talked about it a couple times, but they've never done it. It's irritating that it's such a simple solution to a problem that develops every time they have a game. It's just so – it takes you hours to get out of there.
So I'm talking about the Buffalo Stadium?
Yeah. Bills Stadium, man.
Yeah. Well, you know, and you have to expect the city to make it. It's going to take forever and a day and cost an arm and a leg.
Yeah, well, the county of Erie County, where Buffalo, the stadium is, paid billions towards that stadium. So I just heard today that there's a 6% tax on every event that's in the place. So even if you get when you get your season tickets or you buy individual tickets, they tack on an additional 6% for the use of that stadium. Well,
I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah, me neither. I don't really care. If I go to a game or two, in the next few years, it'll be a lot. So.
Yeah, but it's just,
It's just difficult. You know, to get from Rochester to Buffalo, it's about an hour and 15 minutes just to get to the stadium. Not a big deal. But once you get within the 5 miles of the stadium, traffic slows down. It's almost bumper to bumper, and that's the thing that gets me, just getting in and getting out. I'm kind of claustrophobic, and that kind of shit drives me crazy.
Yeah, because someone's going to feel like they're always trying to box you in or trying to cut in the lane and stuff like that. So like,
well, the thing that I feel trapped when I can't get away from things, I always want to be able to leave when I feel like it. Like, all right, I've had enough of this. I want to go. I like to be able to just do that because that's me. That is me to a T. I literally can lose my mind when I feel like I'm trapped.
You get to a point you're like, okay, I'm spent, it's hot, sweaty, like I'm good here. I feel like I got my money's worth. Let's just move along.
Yeah, sometimes you just want to be done with it. It was hard when we went to Disney, going in some of the lines.
Like
the things, there's some of them that are like, you're like almost like in a cave type thing, trying to get into these places. And even if you wanted to leave, getting out of it, was difficult at times. I just got to get out of here. I'm feeling trapped. And I try to get around it in a lot of cases, and I try to calm myself down, but sometimes it's hard, really hard.
Well, Busch Gardens in Tampa does a good job. They know what's up. They have, like, beers. They have beer concessions right when the line starts for the ride. It's like, okay, you guys are good. I'm going to take two beers because I know it's going to be a half hour, 40 minutes, and there's garbage cans along the way.
And what do you do if you got to go to the bathroom? You got to leave line, then you got to fight your way back to your spot with other people.
Everybody's, Bob, come on now.
Yeah.
You've never pissed your pants? Hello. Everybody's in the bathing suit, soaking wet. You're getting on a wet ride.
If we're not talking the last 48 hours, no. I can honestly say in the last 48 hours, it's never happened.
Well, that's what I tell Brian. I say, you never trust a fart, Brian. You better be careful,
That's right. Yeah.
Never trust a fart.
No. Yeah. Sometimes they're disguised.
So he starts school back up. He's in sixth grade now. It's his first full day, and we didn't get home until 11:30 last night. But, he's telling me, I'm talking to him about, I take him to school in the morning to pick him up. So it's great because I have time with him, talk to him for a good 20 minutes sometimes. 25 minutes, depending on traffic. And we're talking about, they have cell phones. These kids, 11 years old, they have cell phones, smartphones, more expensive than my phone. And they just, when they bring them to school, they just got to put them in these little cubicle holes and they can't touch it at the end of the day. It's like, why are you, I don't get it. Brian has a phone, but it's a flip phone. And he only uses it when he rides his bike to his grandma's house or around the neighborhood and stuff like that. Or if he's home alone.
Yeah.
So it's just, I just don't get it. Teach his own, but it's like, what are we doing giving these kids a smartphone? They're 11 years old.
Well, seriously. It's very detrimental to them, too. They get totally dependent on them. Their whole existence revolves around it. They can't be without it. It's like, I have, you know, I get my son-in-law, Jim, he's a big-time texter and stuff. And I remember earlier on when he would text me something, like during baseball games, he might text me or something like that, or random something during the day, you know, would text me something. Now, I am not young by any means, and I've had cell phones for a long time. I've had cell phones for the last 20 years plus. But I'm not addicted to them. My phone is usually on me someplace in case I need it, not in case you're trying to get a hold of me. So when you send me a text and I don't respond to it, he used to ask my daughter, "Is your dad mad at me?" And he'd say, "Cause he hasn't returned my text or anything." And she'd start laughing. And says, "You waiting for my father to return a text to you?" I said, "Don't be dumb." My father looks at his phone once in a while. That's about it. And he says, "You're lucky to get a text back from him. It's pretty rare. You know, that's just not me. I just don't do it." So these kids that start at that age, they will become so dependent on that. Their whole world revolves around it, you know, and it's just like, that sucks. You got to make sure, even though, you know, I'm sure he's had it for a little while, that you make sure that he's not paying attention to it all the time, because it will become the center point of his life.
Yeah, and I'm sure some of these kids sleep within their room. You know, we had my nephew, Brian's cousin, sleep over there at night, and he has a phone because his parents are divorced, so he's going back and forth. I kind of get that.
Yeah.
But he, you know, he wants, they're going to lay down to bed. It's late, you know, and he's got his phone. It's not near him. It's on Brian's desk, dresser, whatever. And I need him. It's like, No, you don't. Not in this room. You're crazy. I don't think it ever shut off. It never turned off. It was a strange damn thing. Like, it never shut off. When I woke up in the morning, next morning I saw it was still the same screensaver. It's odd. You know, and it's just, you don't want the kids to be beholden to this damn phone. You know, look at these adults. I'm guilty of it. I do work with my phone, so I always have to, you know, if it rings in the middle of the night, I got to pick it up because it could be an alarm company and stuff like that. It's just annoying. You know, I like going to North Carolina. I like going out in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
I have no reception because then it's like, okay, well, I have no reception. I don't, you know, I'm camping in the middle of the woods. Leave me alone. I don't have any reception, so figure it out. You know, it's just like, I don't know. I just want Brian's going to eventually have it. I'm trying to delay it as long as possible. You know,
yeah,
so.
I mean, it's an inevitability in this day and age that, you know, communication is like a big deal. The problem with it isn't the communication part. The problem with it is the dependency and the socialization using it. Because you can socialize exclusively on that. You know, and now all of a sudden you're like a hermit, and the only contact you have with other humans is with this stuff, and that's a horrible idea.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I love the ability to communicate. You know, the fact that you can find out stuff right away. The cool thing about a smartphone is, like, you know, if you're, you know, where am I? I think I just made a wrong turn someplace. You can find exactly where you are with it, you know, and find your way home or out of where you're going to where you're supposed to be next. And all that stuff is really cool. And just information, you know, like you're trying to figure out, you know, you're at the store and you're going to buy some stuff to spread on your lawn or something, you know, to figure out, calculate stuff like that.
Yeah.
But
how to fix something or...
Yeah.
I'll use it here at the shop with coins and watches and stuff that people are trying to sell.
Yeah.
You know, I'll take a snap picture of it and do a Google search real quick, and then, like, okay, well, this is what they're selling for on eBay, so I gotta be less than that, so...
Right.
You know, this is where I'm at.
What else going on? Anything new? Anything happen with that cushion?
No, it's in the case. It looks nice. I just looked at it this morning. I was putting it in. I was like, oh, man. And then it's funny you called.
I might be able to go one more week with it, you know, hopefully you can sell it to somebody.
Yeah, if I can ship back to you next week if I don't sell it, I'd appreciate that.
All right, that's good. Anything else I can do for you?
No, I mean, people are in. Just, you know, some lucky lose.
Yeah. Remember, lookers, nobody walks in. You're a destination store, right?
So we're in a
you're in a plaza. A mall?
We're a standalone building, but we're on the main strip.
Okay. People don't randomly go into a jewelry store without jewelry on their mind.
Correct.
So.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
We're just looking is just the easiest. That's saying when somebody asks you how you doing, you say good or okay or whatever. It means nothing. It's just a knee jerk response. They will always say just looking.
Yeah.
Did I send you my training thing that
you did? You did.
Did you ever listen to it?
I haven't got to it yet. Dang it.
Okay. Yeah, I was just curious to see what you thought of it.
I mean, if it's did it sound your voice?
It's not my voice. I wrote it, and I had AI do a podcast version of it.
Ah, okay.
It's pretty cool. It's pretty easy to do. I wrote a lot of data. And then what I did is I had it turn it into a podcast script, and then I had it actually do the podcast, you know, with two people, a male and a female voice, talking about it. And it's pretty cool. The thing that I like most about doing it with AI is pacing, you know, because what AI tries to do from what it learned over, you know, the time it's been around is people have paces as important as content. You know, if the pace is off, it's like a comic with timing. You know, one person can say a joke and you get a couple laughs. Somebody else can say the same exact joke and get everybody laughing because they just
rolling.
It's just how to pace it to make the most impact. This is pretty good. It's a lot. Like I said, it's 23, almost 24 minutes long, and you're only going to get you'll never absorb it all. That really should be broken down into like five or six or seven segments, maybe. Anyway, all right. I will talk to you later.
All right. Thanks, Bob. Appreciate you.
Bye-bye.